God is looking for a people that will do whatever it takes. I think he's looking for an army that will do whatever it takes. I think he's looking for a body of believers that will say yes and do whatever it takes to build, whatever it takes to reach out, whatever it takes to have his presence permeate the atmosphere, whatever it takes for the Spirit to break out in our neighborhoods and in our communities, because the cost is not cheap. If you want to see a move of God that you've never seen before, you have to have a whatever it takes spirit. If we just do church as usual, if we are those that come together but don't believe together, don't cry out to God together, if there's just one or two in the room when there are an army that could add their voice and add their weight, then God's saying, where are the people that will do whatever it takes? And whatever it takes for you today might be laying down an offense. Whatever it takes for you today might be forgiving yourself. Whatever it takes today for you might be stepping into something that you are not normally comfortable with. Whatever it takes might be a decision that God this year will not look like a repeat of last year. But last year will repeat itself unless you change your decision. God, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be different this year. I'm going to do whatever it takes, God, to grow this year. I'm going to do whatever it takes, God, to sense more of your presence in my life this year. The Bible is full of stories of those that allowed apathy to steal from them their destiny, but it's also full of people that got miracles and breakthroughs because they simply said, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. There was a woman with an issue of blood. And she was ill and she was bowed over and she was in pain. And she had gone to see doctors and she had got medication, but nothing was working. And something snapped within her one day when she was at home and she heard Jesus was in the neighborhood. And she said to herself, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get myself to the feet of Jesus, whatever it takes. And she dragged her body across the ground and she risked being trampled on by the thousands that were gathered. But there was something inside her that day that moved her in a way that she'd never moved before. And there's that spirit that God wants all of us to find. The spirit that says, I am not sitting in my chair anymore. I'm not sitting in my depression anymore. I'm not going to sit here complaining anymore. I know there is better for me. I know there is greater for me. Yes, I've been disappointed. Yes, the doctor stole from me. Yes, the medication promise did not work. Yes, the people that said they'd be there weren't there. But there is Jesus in the neighborhood, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. You know, the enemy, we were away with our staff this week, and I had such a picture. Like in the middle of something that was nothing to do with it, I felt God arrest my attention and simply say this statement to me. And I want you to hear it and I want you to understand it. The enemy is a troubler. He is a troubler. He causes trouble. He troubles your mind. He troubles your family. He troubles your finances. He troubles your business. He is a troubler. He is about causing trouble. And the reason why he likes to trouble is because when you are aware of trouble, you are not focused on God. When you are distracted with trouble, you are not setting your eyes on the prize. When your life is full of trouble, you are not in a place where you have peace, and you are not in a place where you are pushing forward because there's too much trouble around you, and the enemy is a troubler. And if you are troubled today, you have peace here. There is a peace that passes understanding. If there's trouble in your family, the healer is here. The provider is here. If there's trouble in your mind, the one who stills your mind is here. If there's trouble inside your emotional realm, the one that fixes you emotionally is here. The enemy is a troubler, and you need to learn how to pray against him in your family and pray against him in your household. We are too laid back, people. We are too laid back. Some of you like Charlotte. You're like, Charlotte, you revved up this morning. Yes, I am. Because I got mad this week about an enemy that's ripping people off. I got crossed this week because you are my family. You are our family. And I thought about people that are fighting cancers, and I thought about people that are fighting depression, and I thought about people that are troubled in their mind. And I went to the cross with it, and I said, God, I am not going to stand by and let a troubler trouble my family. I'm going to fight the good fight. And this is how I fight my battle, is I pray over them. And I believe, God, that your word is true. And maybe because of what's going on in your world, you've stopped praying, you've stopped worshiping. Maybe because of things around you, you're so distracted with what you don't have, you've forgotten what you do have. There is power in our prayers. And the enemy wants you not to pray. He wants you not to read your Bible. He wants you not to care. He wants you not to do whatever it takes. But in James 5, it tells us, are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Are you sick? Call the church leaders and pray. Believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you back on your feet. And if you've sinned, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. And listen to this. Elijah, human just like you, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. And then he prayed it would rain, and it did. And the showers came, and everything started growing. The prayers of someone that loves God, living right with God, are powerful. Elijah was just like you. That woman with the issue of blood was just like you. Gideon was just like you. David was just like you. These were not superheroes. They were people that said, I believe that when I come to God, he wants to help me. He wants to heal me. He wants to move in my life. And you might sit and say, well, I have prayed, nothing happened. Well, I did come to God and I just walked away the same. The troubler will play mind tricks on you and tell you that because an answer hasn't arrived on your schedule, that an answer will never arrive. But you are not God. You don't set the time. You don't set the calendar. You don't get to say when and where, but you get to come before the throne and trust him and lay the burden on him and say, God, whatever it takes, I don't know if it's now, I don't know if it's next week, but I choose to believe that, God, you will make a way where there is no way. I want to just give you in the next 5 minutes that I'm going to take, and then we're going to turn it over to praying, some instruction that maybe is going to help you this year, change you. Maybe, I don't know, I spiritually see some of you slouched in your chair when it comes to the things of God. It's time to sit upright again, attentive to his presence, attentive to the fact that he is with you. He's with you in the workplace. He's with you in your family. He's with you in your home. He's with you in your quiet time. He's with you in the noisy times. But when you live attentive, you always are aware that you're not alone. And that means that the troubler can't have free reign in your mind, because you are mindful that I'm not alone, so stop troubling me, enemy. I am not forgotten, so stop troubling me, enemy. My best is not past. So stop troubling me, enemy. My family is covered by the blood of Jesus. So stop troubling me, enemy. You got to sit upright in your spirit and aware. There's a guy, his story is in Mark 2. It's a well-known story. It's a whatever it takes story. And there's 4 points I just want to give you to help you in this next moment. The story is of a man that is paralyzed. And though you may be here, able of body, you may be paralyzed spiritually. Maybe your prayer life is paralyzed. Maybe your faith is paralyzed. Maybe your hope is paralyzed. There's no movement in it anymore. There's no mobility anymore. You can't seem to pray like you prayed or believe like you believed. And this man, he was paralytic and his whole life looked one year to the next the same. Same position, same posture, same containment, same confinement. But something happened inside of him and he said, no more, no more. I've lived this way for so long, I don't even know another way of living. But something inside of me is saying, I believe a change is in my future. And I don't know what has paralyzed you. Maybe it's in your marriage or in a relational part of your world. Maybe you become paralyzed in an offense or a hurt. Maybe you become paralyzed in a way that someone spoke over your life. Well, the power of God today is here to break it off your life once and for all. For there is mobility in you that you are yet to discover. There is all kinds of adventures for you yet to discover. But while you are stuck on your mat, you're not going to ever experience what God has for you. So it's time to get off your mat. Time to get up from your mat. And that's going to take some effort. And it's going to take some whatever it takes. I am so mad with the enemy that has told you the mat is your future. That's told you that lack is your destiny. That's told you a miserable marriage is all you'll ever have. That's told you you married the wrong partner, so it's always going to be like that. That's told you you'll never have a child and you'll always be barren. That's told you you'll always be broken. You'll never have any money. It is a lie from the enemy. It is not true. Four things. Simple. To help you get off your mat. Number one, ask. Ask. James says you have not because you ask not. Right. And then when you do ask, you ask for the wrong motive. Right. You ever tried to buy someone a gift and you really want to bless them and you really want to be kind to them? And so you say, what do you want? What do you want? And their answer is, I don't know. It's so frustrating. Because you don't want to just get them anything. You want to get them the thing that they want. You want to bless them in a way that is a blessing to them. You don't want to be random. You know how many times we do that to God? He's saying, ask me. I don't know. I don't really have anything to say. Ask me. God loves it when you get specific. And some of you are frightened to get specific. Yeah, but if I ask for something specific and then it doesn't happen, I'm going to be disappointed. But if I ask general, then, you know, kind of I can just stay happy that, you know, well, it might not happen. No, 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 that's just called a lack of confidence. Ask specific. I have learned to ask God very specifically for very specific things. And I've always found that God is happy to hear my ask. He's not afraid of my ask. It says, boldly come before the throne of God. He's not embarrassed by your ask. Jabez was named pain. And he came to God and he said, I'm asking you, God, change this in my life. I don't want to identify with this label that has been put on me. I don't want to live a life that looks like the name that I have been given. So, oh God, I'm asking that you would bless me. And I'm asking that you would enlarge me. And I'm asking that you would stretch out my boundaries. And God said, so be it. Solomon said, God, I could ask for many things, but I'm asking you for wisdom. And God said, I like your specific ask. And because you were specific, I'm going to give you all the stuff you didn't ask for as well. We told you to come this morning with an ask. Many of you filled out a seek first card, but I'm giving you advance notice now before you come forward in a moment. Have an ask. When you come forward, have an ask. You don't have to tell anyone. You can if you want. Maybe you've already written it down, but have an ask. And if you say, well, I have 100 asks, narrow it down. Just start with one. And can I just be even more of a pastor to you? You might want to ask for something huge. But if you are still locked in unforgiveness, start there. Because you'll never handle what's huge until you're free. Well, God, I'm asking for £1,000. Yeah, but you also have a need in your life that's not financial. That actually, if finance was added, would cause you to have more of a problem. So instead of asking for money to fix the problem, why don't we go right to the problem? God, I'm asking you to take away the addiction in my life. This guy at some point must have asked. He must have said from his mat, I'm so tired of laying here. I'm so done with this view every day. I know there's more for me than the ceiling I'm staring at. I know there's more for me than the confinement of this room. I'm asking, I don't know how it's possible, but I'm asking. I want to get up out of my illness. I want to get up out of my paralyzed mind. I want to get up out of my body that restricts me. I want to get up. And as he asked, some people around him heard. A group of guys who maybe had never heard him actually ask before, just thought he was cool with laying down every day. But on this day, something happened where they knew he wanted something different, because I don't think they would just go into his house randomly and drag him out on a mat. There had to have been a conversation. There had to have been an ask. What is yours? What mat do you need to get up off? Second, attach. Attach. You know, often we ask, but we don't attach anything to it. And your prayer needs some things attached to it. One of the big things you need to attach to your ask is faith. One of the big things you need to attach to your ask is trust. One of the things you can attach to your ask is gratitude. God, I don't have this, but I'm grateful for what I do. God, I'm asking you not because I'm a spoiled brat, but I'm asking you because I'm a grateful son and daughter. God, I'm asking you, and my faith can be as small as a mustard seed, but I'm attaching it. His friends came around and everybody began to attach something to this ask. And that's why I love we're doing this together, because there's an ask, but there's an attachment. And not only is there an attachment, but actually even better than that, the third A I want to give you is agree. Because you might have an ask and you might come today and attach some faith to it. But the Bible says where two or three agree, in that place, my power flows, in that place, my presence overwhelms. It says in Matthew 18, a yes on earth is a yes in heaven, a no on earth is a no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. And I mean this, when two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. When two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. And today, when you come forward, we are fleshing this out. We are going to agree. When you come forward, what we're doing is we're adding our agreement to yours. We're adding and attaching our faith to yours. And we might know you well and we might not know you well. It's irrelevant. This is the family of God, where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am. So the team that are out here, they have all been briefed and already prayed. And they're simply going to pray over you. God, I agree. I agree for this breakthrough. I agree for this miracle. I agree for this healing. I attach my faith to theirs. And God, I ask your presence to come. I ask your freedom to come. It was a prayer of agreement. These men agreed to attach to this man's ask. And then they agreed to carry him, all four of them, on the mat. Imagine if one had said, I don't agree anymore. The mat could not have moved. It needed all four to be in agreement. They all had to agree the direction. They all had to agree to dig a hole. They all had to agree, and their agreement was to lower him to the feet of Jesus. And our agreement today is to lower you to the feet of Jesus. We are agreeing to not answer the question for you, but to put you in front of the one who has every answer you could ever need. Our agreement is to lay it at the feet of Jesus. And as the team come and join me, the final thing that may happen after today is that you might have the fourth A, action. See, you lay it at the feet of Jesus, but don't be surprised if after today, God asks you to do something. This guy, he was lowered to the feet of Jesus, but then it says Jesus looked at the guy and said, okay, now get up, pick up your mat, and go home. There might be something you have to do after today to act on what it is you're believing. You might have to say something, forgive someone. You might have to walk out these doors and make a phone call. You might have to sow a seed. You might have to do something that is an action to follow through on what it is that you've laid at his feet.